أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Lesson number 188 سورة الفرقان آية number 43-50 أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا Have you seen the one who takes as his God his own desire? He has made his God who? His own desire. He worships his desire. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Then would you be responsible for him? Can you help him? Can you guide him? Can you assist him? Can you make him understand something? No way. Because he worships his desire. أَرَأَيْتَ أَرَأَيْتَ What does it mean? That have you thought about this? Have you reflected on this? Have you considered this ever? That manittakhadha, the one who has taken ilahahu, his God, his deity, who is his God? Hawahu, his own desire. What is hawa? Hawa is desire, craving, yearning for something. And literally the word hawa yahwi, hawawiya, it means to fall down. One najmi, إِذَا هَوَى The star when it descends, when it falls down. And this is why it is said that hawa is such a desire of the nafs, its base desires of the nafs, which when a person fulfills them, what happens? He falls in his rank, in his position. You may have noticed that people who are of very high status, very high position, very noble, but what happens? They do one thing, which is in fulfillment of their desires, and they lose that position. They're humiliated in the eyes of people. They're degraded in the eyes of people. All the work they have done goes out the window. All of the services that they have offered to the people, nobody looks at them anymore. Why? Because of one wrong thing they have done in fulfillment of their desires. And the world today is full of such examples. People who are famous, people who are great athletes, people who are in politics even, people who others look up to, they do one thing in fulfillment of their desires and what happens? They're degraded. So hawa is such a desire which a person fulfills, he is degraded. This is why Ibn Faris, he said that hawa nafs khalin min kulli khair, that the hawa of the nafs, the desire of the nafs is empty of any good, meaning it does not bring any good to a person. It may bring temporary enjoyment. However, in the long run, it does not bring any benefit to a person. So, what do we see over here? That this person has taken his God, who? His desire. Meaning he has made his desire his God. What does it mean by making something God? What does it mean by that? If you look at it, the word ilah, who is ilah? The one who is worshipped. The one who is shown dedication to. The one who is shown humiliation to. The one before whom a person humbled himself. The one whom a person always obeys. He never refuses. He gives it the utmost importance. Idealizes. Or dedicates himself completely to it. You see, many things have importance in our lives. Like, for example, it's possible you give importance to your children, you give importance to your work, you give importance to your house, you give importance to your phone, you give importance to your computer. But everything is not at the same level. You love one thing more than the other. So there's something known as prioritizing, that you give more priority to one compared to the other. You give more importance to one compared to the other. Making something your God means that you give it the utmost importance. That everything else compared to it becomes secondary. It becomes unimportant. When that comes before you, you give it the most importance. You love that thing. You fear that thing. This is who? The object of worship. And making something your God, it could be humbling yourself before the one who is really God, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, it could be making, you know, one's passion, one's desire, one's God, which means that a person always gives priority to his desire. It could be making a particular person his God, which means that a person always obeys him, always listens to him. You may have heard this expression that he worships her. What does it mean? Loves her above everybody, listens to her, never turns down her request, always he's concerned about making her happy, and everything else becomes unimportant. So, مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. What does it mean by this? That this person has made his desire his God. That he continues fulfilling his desires. He never ever says no to his desires. He is a slave to his desires, his moods, he loves himself, he follows his own desires, and he does not follow the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. And when it comes to fulfilling the desires, he does not care about any limits. He does not care about any limits. He does not care about what is right, what is wrong. No, this is what I want to do, I'm going to do it. If you think about it, every action that a person does is based on what? On a decision. He decides to do it. And that decision is based on what? Priority. So, what is given the utmost priority? His desire. He does not look at what the truth is. He does not look at what is beneficial. He does not look at what is harmful. He does not look at where the evidence is. No. What does he look at? What do I want to do? What does my pleasure lie in? So a very selfish attitude. This person is not a man of principle. This person is one who is only concerned about fulfilling his desires. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. If you look at it, the best example that a person can find among living creatures of those who live for the sake of their desires is who? Animals. That they're only concerned about what they want to do. But what they want, not what about others want. They're not concerned about collective benefit many times. They're only concerned about fulfilling their own desires. Like for example, they will eat whenever they want to eat. They don't care if that food belongs to them or if it was your lovely flower pot that you put so much effort in trying to plant. No, they're not concerned about that. They see something nice and bright, something fresh, they're going to eat it. Similarly, they sleep whenever they want. They don't have a particular bedtime and a proper waking up time, no. If they feel sleepy, if they want to take a nap, they'll take a nap, whether it's the middle of the day or it's the middle of the night. And if they want to stay awake at some time, they'll stay awake. Like for example, dogs. Everyone is sleeping, but the dog will stay awake, barking all night long. He does not care about other people are getting disturbed, other creatures are getting disturbed. No, it's his desire. He wants to be awake, he'll be awake. Similarly, if you look at it, they do not have any direction, animals. They will wander here, they will wander there, aimlessly doing one thing after the other. Similarly, there is no discipline when it comes to their sexual desires. They will not care where they are, if it's the night or the day, the one they're fulfilling their sexual desire, how it's related to them. No. Nothing like that. The desire is desire and they will fulfill it. So who does this? Who does this? Animals. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you seen the person who has made his God his desire? He's always concerned about fulfilling his desires. Now such a person, can you advise him? No. Very, very difficult. If you tell him, wake up, it's time to go to work, it's time to go to school, it's time to pray, no, he wants to sleep. If you tell him, dinner's on the table, everybody's waiting, no, I'm busy on the phone. If you tell him, go do this, go vacuum, what is he going to do? No, I'm busy on the computer. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. He does not care whether the instruction is coming from his mother, or it's coming from his grandmother, or it's coming from his father, or it's coming from someone who is older, someone whose haqq it is. No, he does not care. Why? He's only concerned about himself. It's me, myself, it's I. It's not about anyone else. Now such a person does not listen to anyone. He is not in anyone's control. This is why Allah says, أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Can then you be a wakil over him? What does it mean by this wakil? Who is a wakil? The one who is in charge, the one who takes care of your affairs. So can you take care of his affairs? Can you protect him? Can you preserve him? Can you stop him from following his desires? No. Can you make him understand that he should do certain things and should not do certain things? No. Can you save him from the evil of his nafs? No. You cannot help such a person at all. You cannot guide such a person at all. You see, many times it happens that people, they come and they say, please advise my daughter, advise my son, tell them to change, tell them something so that they will understand. But the fact is that if a person is only concerned about himself, he does not care about his parents, that my parents are sad. My parents, they cry every day because of me. He does not care about his future, that if I don't study today, where am I going to work? How am I going to earn money? How am I going to get married and raise a family? If a person does not have such concerns, then can you help him in any way? No matter what advice you give him, you cannot help such a person. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, mainly he is being told, أَفَا أَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Can you be a wakil over this person? You cannot help him. You cannot guide him. Now primarily this ayah is about who? The mushrikeen of Makkah. Because in the previous ayat, what do we see? That how they were so persistent on shirk. Why did the people of Makkah do shirk? Because that's what they liked. That's what they desired. And they did not wish to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that was against their desires. If you look at it, the surah is Makki. Surah Al-Furqan, it's Makki. And in Makkah, mainly the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? To prove Tawheed, to spread the message to who? To the mushrikeen. And the mushrikeen of Makkah, they worshipped anything and everything they desired, they liked. We hear of incidents where, for example, a mushrik, he would be worshipping a particular idol made of dates, for example, and if he was hungry, he would eat it himself. Or for example, he would start worshipping a particular idol made of wood that he made himself. If he found some rock that was more beautiful, what would he do? Abandon that wood and he would carve an idol out of that rock and he would start worshipping that. So in reality, what is a person worshipping? His desire. Because if he was worshipping the idol, then whether he was hungry or not, he would not eat it. If he was really worshipping that idol, whether he liked another idol more or not, he would still worship it. He would still give importance to it. He would never disregard it. So, in reality, when a person does shirk, who is he worshipping? His desire. His own desire, which is why no matter what evidence you give to him, no matter what logic you present before him, no matter how you try to prove Tawheed to him, he's not going to accept. He's not going to listen. And part of shirk is that a person worships his desire. That a person is only concerned about fulfilling his desires. In Surah Al-Jathiyah, Ayah 23, we learn, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَّلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَى بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةٍ فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Have you seen the one who has taken his God, his own desire, and Allah sent him astray due to knowledge, and Allah has set a seal upon his hearing and his heart, and he has put over his vision a veil. Why? Why did Allah do that? Because he's only concerned about fulfilling his desires. And whatever a person wants to do, that is a tawfiq that he's given. So who will guide him after Allah? Then will you not be reminded? Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, this is a hadith that is reported by At-Tabarani, that of all the false gods that are worshipped and served instead of Allah, the worst in the sight of Allah is one's own lust, one's own desire. That is the worst false god. Because when a person worships his desire, then he does not care about anything. He does not care about anyone. He is only concerned about himself. It makes him deaf. It makes him dumb. It makes him blind. It makes him insensitive. He does not care about anything. He does not care whether people are hurt, whether people are crying, whether people are suffering because of him. No. He's only concerned about himself. Just recently I was watching this documentary. It's called The Dark Side of Chocolate. I don't know if you've heard of it. I recommend you watch it. It's basically about how all of these industries that produce chocolate, that import chocolate, and how much chocolate is consumed in North America, in Europe, where does the cocoa come from? South America and Africa. And many of the plantations where cocoa is grown, many of these plantations, you will find that children are made to work over there. And these children, they are literally sold as slaves. They are sometimes kidnapped, they are sometimes tricked, and they are trafficked, and they are bought by these plantation owners. And these children, they work there all day, all the time. They're never paid. They're underage. Usually they're aged between 8 to 12. And many times when such companies are asked that children are involved in the production of this cocoa, and children are trafficked, they're literally enslaved, they refuse to accept it. And there are these people who went into these plantations openly, secretly, and they saw, they showed how their children, who are trafficked from various parts of Africa, brought to the Ivory Coast, and over there they're sold. And the plantation owners, they themselves confessed as to how, if they want more people, they will just call their friends, their brothers, their relatives in other countries, and they will say, I need these many children, get them across to me somehow. And on average, they're like 250 euros or 300 euros. That's it. That's the money that who gets? The people who traffic these children. And these children, what do they get? Nothing but just food. And I was thinking, these children, they're working. Why? Why? They don't get any education. They don't get the love of their families. They don't get to see their parents. They don't get to see any relief. Why? So that cocoa can be produced. Why? So that some people can satisfy their taste buds. When a person is concerned about only his desire, his taste buds, his pocket, he doesn't care if children are suffering. He doesn't care if the entire world is suffering. He doesn't care if the ecosystems are getting affected, if the environment is getting affected, because he's only concerned about himself. Now, this is at a very large scale, very large scale. But if you put it at an individual level, relating it with us, with our lives, think about it. We're only concerned about ourselves. I want to sleep, so I'm going to sleep. Other people are waiting. Other people are hungry. I don't want to do this work. Other people are getting affected. Their performance is getting affected. Their work is increasing. Why? Because we just want to follow our desires. So when a person becomes a slave to his desires, what happens? He does not care about anything, anyone. He's not bothered about what the right thing to do is, what the wrong thing is. He's not concerned about the furqan that Allah has given, the criterion that Allah has given, that we should be able to distinguish between right and wrong. No. When a person is overcome by his desires, then what happens? He loses his sight. He loses the furqan. He cannot tell between what is right, what is wrong, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. Similarly, you may have seen that sometimes we learn about the commands. We learn about what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. But what happens? When we're overcome by desires, when we don't want to follow, we don't follow. We don't care about what Allah has said. We don't care about the warnings that have been given. We just do whatever we want to do. Just the other day, somebody was discussing with me about going to a wedding where there's going to be music. And the people know music is haram, but when you tell them, they say, it's only a wedding day, just for one day. So what happens then? When a person wants to fulfill his desires, he does not care about the limits that Allah has set. He does not care about the furqan. He does not care about the rights of Allah, the rights of His Messenger, the rights of people. The Prophet ﷺ said, I mostly fear for you two things. I mostly fear for you two things. Following desires and the long hope in life. This is what I fear for you. That following the desires will hinder you from accepting the truth, from living by the truth. You see the truth, you will not accept it. Why? You want to follow your desires. And many times it happens, even within the deen. People see the evidence, they learn about the evidence, but they don't accept it. Why? It goes against their desires. They will still cling to another opinion that suits their desires, but they will not adopt the other one because it goes against their desires. And long hope is going to lead you towards loving this world to an extent that you will stop thinking about the hereafter and the obligations that are enjoined on you. Long hopes. When I grow up, I will do this and I will go here, and after the course, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start doing that. Long hopes. Because when a person has long hopes, it makes him negligent about the akhirah. So, what do we see over here? That the greatest enemy, the greatest challenge of man is what? His own desire. That is your greatest challenge. Remember that. We think that other people stop us, other people create problems for us. But just as we discussed earlier, if you've made up your mind, if you want to be determined, no one can stop you. So what do you really have to overcome? Yourself. What's your greatest challenge? To convince yourself. To make up your mind. To tell yourself, to correct yourself. This is your greatest challenge. Every individual's greatest challenge. Because once you've overcome yourself, then everything is possible. Like we learn in the dua that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. I seek your refuge from the evil of my soul, from the evil of my desire. We learned earlier that the Prophet ﷺ will complain on the Day of Judgment that إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا, that my people, they abandon this Qur'an. When does a person abandon the Qur'an? When he wants something different, when he wants to fulfill his desires. He does not want to recite it, he does not want to read it, he does not wish to implement it. So, it's the pursuit of desires, it's the fulfilling of desires that prevents a person from accepting the truth, from living by the truth. Now many times what happens when we read such ayat, we're thinking about people. I know that person. They only are concerned about themselves. They sleep when they want, they get up when they want, they eat what they want, they don't care about halal, haram. Instead of thinking about other people, all of us should reflect on ourselves right now. Think about yourself. Think about me. That when it comes to the commands of Allah, and when it comes to my wishes, my desires, what I want to do, what do I give preference to? What are those situations in which I lose against myself? I cannot say no to myself. What are those situations where I cannot control myself? I'm overcome. I disregard the commands of Allah. For some people it could be when they're sleeping. And when they're sleeping, the alarm goes on, the people are knocking on the door, it's Fajr time, it's Fajr time. But what happens? They cannot say no to themselves. They cannot say no to their nafs, their desire, their hawa. It's time to get up. But the nafs says, but the bed is so comfortable. I'm still so sleepy. I'll get up and pray after 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, obviously, you're back in deep sleep. For other people, it could be listening to something. It could be talking about something. So we all need to analyze that, what are all those situations where we lose against ourselves? We cannot control ourselves. Any habit, any desire that overcomes a person in a way that he is prevented from obeying the command of Allah, then that is making it a ma'bud. Making that desire, making that habit ma'bud, ilah. That a person cannot say no. A person cannot overcome it. He is giving that desire priority instead of giving the command of Allah priority. Like for example, if a person loves money and he loves to enjoy things and that is preventing him from obeying Allah, then that love for money has become his ma'bud. Similarly, if a person loves his children, she loves her baby, and because of that, she does not want to leave the baby, she does not want to pray on time, she does not want to recite her dhikr after salah. Why? She loves her baby. Now this is what? Following the desire. Not following the command of Allah. Now many times it happens that we set certain goals for ourselves. Certain things that we want to achieve. Certain things that we want to do. And we say that, you know, we want to benefit people. We want to serve the deen. Like for example, I know one of my friends, she used to say a lot that I want to serve the deen differently. I don't want to serve the deen the way you think you're supposed to serve the deen, that you have to study the Quran and you have to study the deen and only then you can serve the deen. No, I want to serve the deen differently. And I always wondered, how can you serve the deen differently if you don't study the deen? We actually want to fulfill our desires. And we give it some very nice, lovely, beautiful label. that I am going to serve the deen this way, I am going to serve the deen that way. And in trying to serve the deen that way, we lose our deen as well. We lose our salah. We lose our iman even to an extent. We lose the obligations as well that we have to perform. Now many times it happens that people set certain goals. I want to become a doctor because I want to serve humanity. I want to become a psychologist because I want to help people. There is a need. Of course there is a need. Very good intention. But we have to see that why is it that we're doing what we're doing? Is it that we want to get a DR before our name? Is it because we want to tell people we have this degree and so that they get impressed by it? Or is it really that we want to help people? Because unfortunately many times people get these degrees, but they don't do anything with them. They don't do anything with them. They have these degrees, they're sitting at home, they're people who need help, but they're not helping them. So at the time when they were saying, I want to study this, I want to study that because I want to help people, in reality that was not the intention. The intention was something else. It was to fulfill your own desire. So we have to see, anything we're doing in life, why are we doing it? Is it just under a beautiful label of serving the deen, serving humanity, helping people, helping mankind? Or is it something different? We have to see. Because if we're doing one thing after the other just in fulfillment of our desires, then how are we different than the person described over here? Now, it doesn't mean that our religion, it discourages us from accomplishing great things, from doing great things. I'm not saying that you should not go to university and study various things to help people, to help mankind. No, that is something highly recommended. But you have to see that what you're doing, is it lawful or unlawful? Is it relevant or irrelevant? Is it going to enable you to fulfill your obligations, or is it going to make you compromise on them? Because especially as women, and obviously men also, they have certain obligations on them, but women also, they have certain obligations on them. So if we're doing something that is going to make us compromise our deen, that is going to make us neglect certain obligations, then that's not for us. That's not something that we should be pursuing. And there are so many options available in this dunya. So many options. So why not choose something that is really going to be beneficial instead of something that's just going to satisfy our desires? Now for example, if a person says he wants to become a doctor, but he goes on neglecting his salah. The label is, I want to help people. I want to go, there's so many natural disasters, I want to go to different parts of the world and help the people for free. Very good intention, very nice. But is it making you compromise your salah? Is it making you neglect your salah? If it is, then in reality you're fulfilling your desire. Because if a person wishes to help people, why? To please God, to please Allah. If you're trying to please Allah one way, that's voluntary and not the obligatory way, then there's a problem with the intention. Now, we have to choose the proper way, and we also have to choose the proper method. You have to select the thing that fits best and the way that is appropriate as well. Like for example, sometimes people say that, you know, they're going to become athletes and the money that they're going to make, they're going to help people with it. I've heard people say that a lot. They want that their children should become great athletes, especially if they're big and tall. And with all the money they're going to make, they should be helping people. But if you think about it, if you become a doctor, okay, you're really helping people. If you become an athlete, you're playing. And if you lose a game, then look at all the facade that occurs. The entire population, which is supposed to be educated, goes crazy. Buses are burnt and police cars are overturned and people get so violent, they get so upset. This is not a good cause then. Whereas if you're a doctor, then you'll be able to help people, really. So we have to see, anything we're doing, what is the intention behind it? Is it just fulfilling desires, or is it really something beneficial? Now, the examples that I gave to you were mainly about the dunya. Now many times it happens that a person is doing something for the deen as well. Like for example, he's studying the deen, or he's teaching the deen, he's volunteering to help promote the deen, to help spread the deen. Think about it. Many things people do to serve the deen as well. But it's also possible that a person is doing that only to please his desire, only to please himself, only to satisfy himself. How do you identify that? How do you identify that? Because any one of us could fall into that. We're volunteering, we're helping, we're studying, we're teaching, we're helping out in some way or the other. This is what we say, we want to serve the deen. So we need to figure out how is it that a person could apparently be serving the deen, but in reality he is satisfying his desire? How do you figure that out? How do you figure that out? Like, for example, if somebody praises me, I do my work. If somebody does not praise me, I don't do it. If somebody watches me, if somebody pays me, if somebody scolds me, then I'm motivated. If somebody does not do it, I'm not motivated. I do it only when I'm with people. And when I'm alone, I don't do it. We demand that we should be given a certain type of work. Only if we're given that type of work, then we'll do it. And if we're not given that type of work, we're not going to do it. I remember in the previous course, we had these meetings with the students, and we asked them, if you were asked to volunteer, what would you like to do? And this one student, she was asked, and she said, anything. I don't mind doing anything. And I thought it was such a great thing to say, because other people, you know, they said, I would like to help in this field or only in that field. I would like to only mark the test papers. I don't want to stand in the cafeteria. I don't want to be at the reception. I don't want to do this. But this one person, she said, anything. I don't mind if I'm doing this or that, because ultimately, what am I doing? Serving the deen. So anything, it's okay with me. This is the spirit. This shows that a person is doing it for the sake of Allah. And if a person says, no, only this, and if not this, then nothing else, then what does it mean? He wants to satisfy his desire. What else? What else could be a warning sign? That when people are working together, many times conflicts will occur. Conflicts will rise. It's only natural. You are driving with one person only. You're sitting with only one person in the car. There will be times when you will have conflict, isn't it? You want to stop. The other person says, no, let's go. You say, go right. He says, no, no, go left. It's only natural. When there are two people in one place, there are going to be conflicts. And especially when people are working for the deen, there are going to be conflicts. So if a person is only concerned about proving himself right all the time, showing his work as better all the time, then in reality, what is he doing? Satisfying his desire. Because if his goal was to achieve the work, to get the work done, to make sure what is to be done is done, then he will not care about what the other person is saying and how they're watching me and how they're not doing their part and this is so unfair. No. Whatever work has been given to me, I'm going to do it responsibly. Now, one more important thing, that many times it happens that people are doing the work of deen, but they are lacking spiritually. You understand? Like, for example, a person is working, studying, writing, giving exams, marking, volunteering, cleaning, setting up, everything, whatever work a person is doing. But when it comes to salah, salah is delayed. When it comes to salah, there's no khushu. You understand? When it comes to doing the dhikr of Allah, hardly. Because it's not possible that a person is truly doing something for the deen and he's not growing spiritually. When you're working to serve the deen, you must grow spiritually. If you're not growing spiritually, if spiritually you're not getting stronger, there's a problem. And we need to check ourselves over there. It does not mean that you stop the work saying, oh, I don't want this to be a burden on me. Since I'm not growing spiritually, therefore I'm not going to continue with this. No, that's even worse. The thing is that we need to keep trying. We have to keep struggling. We think that if we are volunteering at the institute, then that is my service to the deen and that is all I need. No. That is voluntary work. At the same time, you have certain obligations. You cannot neglect them. Similarly, sometimes what happens is that a person is, you know, volunteering for the deen, but what happens? She is neglecting her own family. Now, sometimes it happens that the work becomes difficult, it becomes challenging. But remember that the haqq of your children is their haqq, and the haqq of your husband is his haqq. Remember that. Just like the haqq of Allah is Allah's haqq, the haqq of the lesson is the lesson's haqq, right? The haqq of the class is the class's haqq. Similarly, every person has his haqq. You cannot say, if I'm doing this, I'm not going to do that. No, you will struggle. There will be times where there will be slight imbalance. But you can never ever think that because I am doing this work, I do not need to give my husband his haqq. Because I am doing this work, I do not need to care about my children, because I have become very righteous. No. This is not the correct way. If a person is truly serving the deen and not his desire, then he will make sure that every obligation, every duty is fulfilled. Because he feels accountable. And if it's just about the desire, then obviously a person will not care about other people. He will only be concerned about himself. Just as we discussed earlier, that each command, each obligation is important in its own place. Where good akhlaq is necessary, where the husband's haqq is important, similarly the hijab is also important. Every command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, it's important in its own place. It does not mean I choose this, I choose not to do that. No. If a person has this approach, that I choose to do this and not to do that, then in reality what is he doing? Following his desire. Because if he has really considered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be his God, then he will accept every command from Allah, whether he likes it or not, whether he finds it difficult or not. Because if you really consider Allah to be your God, if you really want to please Allah, then you will find every instruction, every command important. And if your goal is that you just want to please yourself and you want to please people, then you will choose some things, you will leave some things. So this is why when a person is trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will make sure that whatever his obligations are, he fulfills them. Whether they are towards people, or they are towards the Qur'an, or they are towards certain things, certain places, he will try to fulfill all of them. Because ultimately, who does he love most? Allah. Who does he fear most? Allah. Who does he want to please? Allah. Because sometimes what happens is that when we do this work, we get this energy. We get very, very happy. When you study the Qur'an, you know, you feel so happy, your mind, it enlightens up, and it really fulfills you. And when it comes to talking to other people, they're related to you, but it doesn't really fulfill you the way Qur'an fulfills you. So what happens then? We try to spend more time with the Qur'an and neglect other people. Both are necessary. Both deserve their haqq. And if we are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should try to please Him in every way that He has commanded us to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us over here that have you seen the person who has made his God his desire? And such a person, you cannot help him. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا? Can you be a trustee over him? Can you be a guardian over him? Can you assist him at all? You cannot assist him. Now what if you do come across such a person who you try to explain things to him, you try to make him understand, you tell him, but he's not willing to accept. He says, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. It's possible. You share some ayat with someone, you share, you know, the knowledge of certain command with someone, and they say, no, I'm not going to do it. It's not for me. I don't wish to do it. What should you do? Recite this ayah and tell them you are a slave to your desires? At that point, you should pray to Allah. Make dua to Him. Because as people, we cannot be a wakil over such. We cannot be wakil. We are not their guardians. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ. You cannot be a tyrant over people. You cannot force them to listen to you. Because لا إكراه في الدين. إِنْ تَحْرِصْ عَلَى هُدَاهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ يُضِلْ. Hidayah is only in the hands of Allah. So pray to Allah to open their heart. Pray to Allah to guide them. أَمْ تَحْسَبُوا. Or do you think, أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ, that indeed most of them, يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ, they listen or they understand? You think that most of these people who follow their desires, you think that they listen? You think that they understand? No, they don't. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ, such people are only like livestock. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, rather they are more astray in way. A person who follows his desires, nothing at all can benefit him. If you try to give him some advice, if you try to give him some warning, you think he's listening? No. You think he's understanding? You think he wants to listen? No. He may pretend that he's listening, but he's not even listening. And you may have noticed that sometimes you're talking to someone, but they don't even want to listen to you. They just ignore you. They look away. They pretend as if you don't exist. So a person who follows his desires, nothing can benefit, no advice, no warning, whether it comes from the Qur'an, or it comes from a person, whether it comes from a well-wisher, or it comes from a parent, a teacher, whether it is based on some scientific evidence or research, no. Nothing can help him. Nothing can benefit him. So such people who do not use their ears, who do not use their eyes, who do not use their minds that Allah has given them, what happens then? They become like an'am. How are they like an'am? In their inability to listen and comprehend. Like for example, if you give a speech to a cow, you recite the ayats, you explain them, you quote scientific research and evidence, is it going to make a difference? No. Similarly, a person such as this, no matter what you tell them, they're unable to listen, they're unable to comprehend. How else are they like grazing livestock? That grazing livestock, what are they concerned about? Just fulfilling their desires. They just eat, they drink, they sleep, procreate, that's it. They live for their desires. Similarly, this person, no matter what you tell him, what is he concerned about? What I want to do. What I like. I feel like it, I don't feel like it. He's only concerned about his desires. This is why such people, Allah says, in whom illa kal an'am, they're only like grazing livestock. But in reality, balhum adallu sabila. In fact, they are more astray than these grazing livestock. Why? Because the grazing livestock animals, if the shepherd calls them, at least they recognize the particular sound and they respond. Even they can be trained. That at this time we leave, at this time we come back. This is where water is, this is where food is, this is where you pasture, this is the person you listen to, this is your guard dog. Isn't it so? These animals even, they can be trained to a certain extent. And whatever they are trained to do it. They listen, they obey, they respond. To who? To the shepherd, to the guard dog. But these people, no matter what comes to them, no matter what is said to them, they don't obey their master. These animals, at least they obey their master. At least they yield to the person who looks after them. But these people, they do not respond to their master. They do not respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. They do not acknowledge His ihsan. They do not fear His punishment. They do not hope for any reward. This is why, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. In Suratul A'raf, Ayah 179, we learn, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. And we have certainly created for hell many of the jinn and mankind. Meaning many of the jinn and mankind, where are they going to end up? In hellfire. Why? Because they have hearts with which they do not understand. They have eyes with which they do not see. And they have ears with which they do not hear. Those are like livestock. Rather, they are more astray. It is those who are heedless. It is those who do not benefit from any instruction, any advice. Who do not have any furqan. They do not distinguish between right and wrong. If you look at it, an animal, a cow, if you offer it a beef burger, and you offer it some leaves, what is it going to eat? Leaves. No matter how much you try to feed it a beef burger, it's not going to eat it. It knows what's right for it and what's wrong for it. But people, when they come down to this level, they don't even distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. They don't even distinguish between what is beneficial, what is harmful, what Allah approves of and what Allah does not approve of. What is halal, what is haram. What takes to Jannah, what takes to Naar. They're not concerned about that. This is why they're worse than these animals. And these animals, they know their purpose. They know what they're supposed to do. You won't see a cow wondering, what am I supposed to do? What is my purpose in life? No. It knows. It's supposed to eat, sit down, and digest that food, produce milk, procreate. That's it. A cow knows. A goat knows. A sheep knows. It knows its purpose in life. But these people, they don't even realize their purpose in life. They're living, fulfilling their desires one after the other. Not concerned about tomorrow, not concerned about 50 years from now, not concerned about what's going to happen to me after I die. Where do I go? What's going to happen? So this is why such people are worse than animals. Recitation. أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون
إن هم إلا كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلاً.